Today, the lower chamber of the Russian parliament, the Duma, called for extra security for the country's diplomats after the assassination of Andrei Karlov, Russia's ambassador to Turkey. The gunman, a Turkish police officer, shouted protests against Russia's bombing in Syria after he shot Karlov and wounded three others in an art gallery in Ankara. David Pilipov is Moscow bureau chief for the Washington Post. He's joining us from there by Skype. And David, what are people there saying about this terrible shooting broadcast live?
Well, first of all, people here, like everywhere else, were shocked. It was graphic, and it was brutal. I mean, you didn't have to be a Russian to get that. Mm-hmm. But in Russia as well, where the effort to make a connection with Turkey, the effort to expand Russia's presence in the Middle East, and also the effort to have a rapprochement with Turkey after the incident in the end of 2015 when a Russian jet was shot down by Turkey. All of that comes into play. But most importantly, in the way that Russia is right now, where so much of what's happening in the outside world is seen as a conspiracy to keep Russia down, the most prominent thing you hear as an explanation is that somebody else is behind this. This is foreign security agencies. This is the West. This is somebody trying to get us by shooting our ambassador.
Well, let's pick that up, because the gunman shouted, "Remember Aleppo." Now, just to flesh this out, Russia is backing President Assad in the civil war. Turkey was arming some of the fighting against him. You're noticing something interesting about what people aren't saying about the shooter.
Right. Well, Russians are talking about, Russian leadership is talking about this being aimed at Russian-Turkish relationships, this being an act of terrorism. No, it wasn't. It was a gunman who assassinated the Russian diplomat as he's crying, you know, "Remember Aleppo." If anything, this is directly retribution for the Russian military role in backing the Syrian regime in Aleppo and in Syria. Russia carried out airstrikes. Russia carried out missile attacks. Russian special forces are on the ground. This is an assassination.
But why isn't Turkey saying that?
Turkey has no interest in drawing attention to Russia's role in Aleppo. Yeah. Turkey and Russia right now are trying to point out what's common to them, which is that they both want to bring the conflict to an end. Also, for Turkey, this is extremely embarrassing. The lack of security, the ability for a gunman to get in there, that looks bad for Turkey.
Well, what do people in Russia that you talk to think about Russia's involvement in Syria? Has this assassination made some people sit up and say, well, wait a second, you know, our country was bombing Aleppo? Or is support, you know, pretty steadfast?
I think that at the moment, people don't connect the two, mainly because the assassination has been portrayed largely as a blow against Russia, a blow against Russian influence, a blow against Russia's efforts to make geopolitical partners, and likely something that somebody like the West is doing to us. So the idea that this is something, that we're doing something wrong in Aleppo, hasn't really come up. Furthermore, Russia has gone out of its way to point out all the things it's doing right in Aleppo, bringing humanitarian aid, trying to let civilians out of the city. So if you're a casual Russian observer or even an informed Russian observer, what you're seeing is Russia is trying to help people, trying to fight terrorists, and trying to make partnerships with the end of ending the violence. And this assassination is going against that, not Russia is causing atrocity, and this assassination is revenge for that.
There's so much else going on. You've got Turkey, Iran, and Russia meeting without the U.S. to talk about the future of Syria. But you've also got the U.S. intelligence reports concluding that Russia hacked the U.S. election with the goal of tilting it towards Donald Trump. What do people there say about that?
Well, first of all, you can't find anybody in Russian officialdom who doesn't call that absolute nonsense. I think that the note went out, call it absolute nonsense. Quietly, people are actually very afraid, on the one hand, what that means. If the United States thinks that Russia is stealing elections, what's it going to do to us? And then on the other hand, there's the overall, you know, cynical idea that Russia needs to use cyber crime and cyber hacking in order to get into the heads of Western countries because it can't compete with them by traditional means. So there is a little bit of, yeah, we're good enough to do that. And there's a lot of, no, there's no way. Show us the evidence. We won't believe you. We don't believe you. It didn't happen.
Well, is there also a little bit of we can't wait for this new guy? Because we know the U.S. has imposed new sanctions against Moscow because of the annexation of Crimea, the continued intervention in eastern Ukraine, where there's been more fighting between pro-Russian rebels and Ukrainian forces this week. Are there Russians saying we can't wait for Donald Trump to get in because he does appear to be more pro-Russia and perhaps those sanctions will be removed?
Well, you know, Russians are really smart and they pay attention to what's going on in the world. However, if you turn on the TV news, it's basically saying Donald Trump is coming and he's going to be more positive. On the surface level, you know, Trump has named a few people, the Secretary of State nominee, the National Security Advisor, who have a record of being pro-Putin or having involvement in Russia. But what does that mean when he gets to the full power of the United States of America and a Russian plane does a buzz by on an American carrier? What's he going to do then? Is he going to be really pro-Russian at that moment? I don't know.
David Filipov, Moscow bureau chief for The Washington Post in Moscow. David, thank you.
Thank you for having me.